and that we wouldn't ride the bus until our request had been granted.
That's it for this week's Sprouts. Contributors this week include Elizabeth Robinson and Keith Rosendahl from KCSB in Santa Barbara, California. Thanks to the Pacifica Radio Archives for the interview with Rosa Parks. Distribution assistance is provided by Jim Bennett, Michael Yoshida, and the Pacifica Radio Foundation. Our Sprouts air traffic controller is Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm Debbie Linehart from KRFC Fort Collins. Tune in to next week's Sprouts, and until then, check us out on the web at www.sproutsradio.org.
10 years, man! 10!
Free Radio Santa Cruz began broadcasting on the FM dial on March 30th, 1995. 10 years later, the station continues to broadcast. Stay tuned to 101.1 FM or listen to the web stream anywhere in the world at www.freakradio.org.
10 years, man! 10 years! 10 years! 10! 10 years! 10 years!
When I was coming up, it was a dangerous world, and we knew exactly who the they were. It was us versus them, and it was clear who them was. It was us versus them. It was clear who them was.
For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. The world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons.
The world's most dangerous regime with the world's most destructive weapons.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I can't see because I can't hear. I can't hear because I can't see.
Liberated, you will be treated, tried, and persecuted as a war criminal. Persecuted as a war criminal. Persecuted as a war criminal. We can't help you. Go home and die.
Nobody can threaten this country. Well, they may be able to bomb a building. Bomb a building.
For the world's worst leaders with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leaders with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leaders with the world's worst weapons.
The world's most dangerous regime with the world's most destructive weapons.
People regard him as a clown.
I can't hear because I can't see.
He belongs in a circus.
I can't see because I can't hear.
People regard him as a clown.
I can't hear because I can't see. Because I can't hear because I can't see.
For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons. For the world's worst leader with the world's worst weapons.
The world's most dangerous regime with the world's most destructive weapons.
George W. Bush is the most incompetent and dangerous president in living memory.
We cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile.
The president who cannot think properly.
Yes?
I'm with the IRS, and I'm here to collect my money today for this year's tax returns.
Well, I gave my money to the homeless shelter.
The homeless shelter?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go talk to my superiors about that. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes?
I'm with the IRS, and I've come back the second day to collect my money for the war on terrorism.
I do not want to pay for killing. I've given my money to the AIDS research group.
Okay, ma'am. I'll come back tomorrow.
Yes?
Hi, ma'am. This is the IRS, here to collect the money for the war on terrorism. Where's the money? I need to have it today.
Look, I don't want to pay for killing. I'm taking the money I owe the IRS, and I'm redirecting it to victims of the war on terrorism, both here and abroad.
Are you one of those war tax resistors?
If you're grappling with these issues of conscience, there's an office that can help you. Contact the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee at 1-800-269-7464. That's 1-800-269-7464.
And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
I'm not a moron.
Boy! Don't believe the hype.
I'm not a moron.
Don't believe the hype.
I'm not a moron. I'm not a moron. I'm not a moron. I'm not a moron.
Don't believe the hype.
I'm not a moron. I'm not a moron.
Don't believe the hype.
Not a moron.
Don't believe the hype.
Not a moron.
Good morning. This week I have been in Rome to attend the funeral mass of Pope John Paul II. With them, we honor this son of the Bishop of Rome and a hero for the ages. Laura and I were honored to pay tribute to this manhood. This Pope brought the gospel's message of hope and Pope and Pope hope that transcended differences of nationality, language, the Gestapo, and religion. The call to freedom that defined his papacy was forged.
A moron.
He came in the Nazi occupation of his beloved Poland. Later, when he was named Poland's youngest son of the bishop, he came face to face with the other 20th century, the great totalitarianism. And soon he taught the communist rulers in Warsaw and Moscow that moral truth had legions of its own and a force greater than their armies and secret police. That moral conviction gave the man from Krakow a confidence that inspired millions. The man from Krakow.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, late but here, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, April 14th, 2005 show. Stay with us.
fate to be the voice of how the end's begun. All the stars spinning round, it was the end of the world.
We felt lucky to be alive.
The end of the world. We felt lucky just to see the way we died.
And that was The Jolly Bankers, Death and Taxes, Raina's Dream by Kristen Anderson. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop's Piers Broadside, Civil Rights, if you can find him, in Santa Cruz. I'm a-looking for him. And lots of street interviews ahead of us. My guest has not showed yet, so I'm hoping I'll get a phone call, but you never can tell. I'm a bit late myself, but I think... I may be hoping for a guest on Sunday, perhaps, instead of today. But anybody's welcome to call in. This is a call-in show concerned about sharing experiences here in Santa Cruz, particularly as regards civil rights and human rights in Santa Cruz for poor people. And the phone number to call is 831-427-3772. You can also jump on the chat room at www.pagesincolor.com, where I'm going to be in just a moment. Or you can catch me off air by leaving me a message at 831-423-HUFF. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom is what HUFF is, and it's a voicemail phone message with lots of information to get through. Rather old message, but still generally true, although I think there's a few errors there. The HUFF is no longer meeting at Baker Square. It currently meets in the basement of the county building at the American Cafe, the cafeteria in the basement, every Wednesday between 8 and 10 in the morning. And we are concerned with civil rights for poor people, and that's what we do. And that's what the show's about, too. So jump on board if you'd like, or just listen in and let me know what you think, or don't. But I'm going to go and do it, and I hope you join me.
Again, it's about 8 o'clock in the county parking lot. It's April 6, 2005, and a couple of questionable individuals are rolling cigarettes while waiting for the court to open. Your name, sir?
Thomas Watts.
And Thomas, why are you here this early in the morning?
I'm here today because I have an infraction skating ticket warrant that I have to take care of.
How did this come about?
I was skateboarding on the street on Pacific Avenue with traffic, and you're not allowed to skateboard anywhere downtown.
Which officer pulled you up short?
Officer Butler, I believe.
And what did he or she say to you?
She said that there is no skating anywhere in the downtown vicinity, even if you're skating on the street with traffic.
And had she warned you before?
This one, she had not previously warned me before, but...
But instead she chose to ticket you rather than warn you?
Yes.
What was your response?
My response to that is that my skateboard was my particular mode of transportation during that time. I was obeying traffic laws as if it was a bicycle and was not bothering anybody with my skateboarding to and from...
To which she said?
To which she said, the ordinance downtown is there's no skating within 40 feet of any business.
And do you continue to skateboard, or have you sworn off your evil ways?
I have sworn off my evil ways and now ride a 20-inch bicycle because I can ride on the street with traffic and do not get a ticket.
Don't you feel better now?
I do feel quite a bit better, I suppose.
What's your view, madam?
I think a lot of the ordinances downtown are unnecessary, and moreover so than anything, they're used for the court systems and the Santa Cruz County to create, generate money from people who necessarily don't have it to pay.
Your name?
Anna Scott Lewis.
Have you been drawn up into the toils of the system yourself?
I have experienced several uncomfortable situations with officers where they were operating out of conduct. They laid hands on my little brother without announcing themselves as an officer, touching a minor without parental consent, a few other things. But I personally have never had any problems with the police. Like, on my own, I have never had a ticket. I usually stay away from them knowing that they're shiesty.
Do you intend to disqualify referee Basket or to go ahead with her?
I am going to do community service hours for it because I figure that I've already wasted quite a bit of the city's money, which would cost more than the skating ticket. And I don't believe that me giving them my money to pay for a skating ticket ordinance to pay for their police department is what the money should be spent on, so I'd much rather help out my community and do community service hours to pay off the ticket.
And to go to stay with this judge?
Yes, I do.
Foolish boy. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So I'm here at the scene of a serious crime. The infamous Meriwether Mike is offering food to questionable ragamuffins while seated on public property. Certainly an infraction at least. It's about 8:25 on April 7th. What's your excuse for doing this, Mr. Banana and Bagel Man?
Well, we got an extra blessing of bread from St. Francis, and a lovely lady there gave us some jelly and peanut butter, so we figure Thursday night's the only night we can't get anything on the mall, and we put some out and being grateful for St. Francis and the people there that are...
Is this in honor of our dead Pope? Be candid now.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of...
He's a pretty, well, pretty nasty guy to be... Well, never mind.
There's a lot to be grateful about. So there's obviously... You want some jelly on that? You're just good. Here you go. Those are really good with the little strawberry jam. They're like a...
Pope is a human. He ain't no god. So go in and worship your god.
We have a religious dispute here at the corner of Pacific and... What's, is it Elm Street?
Pope ain't no god.
I think it's Elm Street.
He ain't god. He's a human being like anybody else.
All right. Now...
That's why he died.
What is it... Don't you enjoy our Pope? No, come on, he gives us a lot of fun, an excitement. He wears these fine clothes.
No, he's trying to say the Pope is his god. He's fucking off his rocker, dude. That's idolatry.
Indeed.
Idolatry.
How's it going?
It's going very well.
Yeah. Any hassles on the street with men of the law, so to speak?
Yeah. No. No, we're doing all right.
Well, it's good. I don't see any police officers here nearby. What about Michael? Any police been giving donations to the food fund?
Well, I haven't seen them, but you know.
What about your favorite police officer, Pam Bechtel?
I haven't seen our dear Pam in a while.
Now, what is your objection to poor Officer Pam? He's backing off quickly, folks. Your name? Why don't we call you Black Hair? Now, Black Hair, what? How are things going on the street? Any hassles, any problem?
Yeah.
Like what?
Can't speak without her attorney present.
Ah, now, her attorney, what do you have to say about it?
She's innocent until proven guilty.
No, in Santa Cruz, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly.
Now, there you are. Now, have you been hassled lately, either of you, by, mm-hmm. like, in what way? Your mouth is full again. I see you stuffing yourself with your ill-gotten gains of the day.
I was violated by mushroom.
I see. You violated your mushroom. I see. We'll pursue this too closely here. Have you seen Officer Bechtel today pursuing the... What has she been up to?
She arrested someone for being drunk.
And was that person drunk?
Yes.
Were they...
Passed out in the park.
They were passed out. Now, did you feel the arrest was appropriate?
Yes.
Well, then let's strike one for Officer Bechtel there. Any other behavior that you wish to comment on?
I got a ticket for not turning in lost property.
For not turning in lost property.
I didn't know it was lost. I found it and wanted to have it, and then I looked at it, didn't want it, and gave it to somebody who would need it. It was a coat. So, you know, so someone could be warm. Cops saw the person, and they tried to say that, you know, we should have turned it in.
Who was the police officer?
I don't know his name.
It wasn't Officer Bechtel.
No.
And
but I've had experiences with her. She's okay, but not, I don't know.
Not the ideal police officer?
Not a bright one.
But when did this ticket for not turning in lost property happen? Better not take that toothbrush. It may be lost property that you're not turning in.
I know.
You've just been handed a Colgate toothbrush.
I know. It could be stolen.
It could be stolen. It could be borrowed. It could be improperly unpermitted.
Exactly. But I could still get in trouble.
You can probably use it nonetheless. So. Anything happening on the street today other than that that you've noted you wish to pass on to us?
Nope.
Thank you. A wanderer from the past who identifies himself as?
River.
And where you been, River? How long you been away?
Since Christmas.
And
my last visit here. Yeah. That's when I sang that song to you, Georgie Bin Laden, the Selma Bush. Maybe you might
feel free to give us any new songs.
Well, that's all good. I just want to tell you something I just saw a few minutes ago.
What did you see?
I saw 2 12-year-old little girls approach the corner down by Borders asking for speed in a squirt gun. And when they were turned down, of course, and when they left, they went right to the hospitality office.
So you think they were informants? You think they were looking for hospitality?
I don't know what was going on, but they, after they left there, they went to the hospitality office, which is not lit right now.
The unlit hospitality office.
Unlit, and there was an officer who was at the door or whatever.
So they were soliciting speed, or they're giving it away?
Asking to buy it.
Asking about, so it looks like it may have been a sting operation.
Something like that, yeah. But they couldn't have been older than 12, man. That's insane.
Well, they're young patriots.
I was getting ready to give them a lecture.
I don't have any floss, but now...
Thank you, River. Mike, you have some food notes, sir?
Yeah, right. Holy Cross, they're doing a great, obviously, service. Food bank hours, they've changed, cut back just Wednesday and Friday, 10 to 2. They really got some great stuff. I dropped by and, bananas and peanut butter and whole grain bread. So lots of goodies, but just Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 2. But I just found out the Red Church is doing it every other week on Thursday. So
what time?
Good question. Did you happen to catch what time the Red Church did their food thing? No. You missed that too, huh?
If the potter's hand has reappeared on the street?
Well, he's not on the street, but he's doing a church and fellowship with food Sunday 10 to 12 at the Vets Hall downstairs. So, yeah, that's all this stuff would be great in a street sheet. I know you've been involved in that, and I was talking to Linda, and she wants to start getting some emails from people about what to do a street sheet on. She'd like to get involved that way. So we're really excited about Linda's interest. We talked to her, Valerie and I, at the post office. About
Lighthouse Linda LeMaster.
Yes. Yeah, we must have chatted about a half an hour. And she's doing well.
In fact, I don't have my toothbrush.
Hey, I got a complaint for your thing, dude. Babe.
It's pink.
Babe, let's do our complaint about the fucking cops in our car.
Oh, yeah.
So what's... First of all, sign in your name.
Moondog.
And?
Luna.
Moondog and Luna, what's the deal?
Well, we were sleeping in our car by the beach, and we were just passed out. We had the curtains up in all the windows, and they didn't know if anybody was in the car or not. But what happened was they tried to wake us up, and in the process, they beat the fuck out of our car. And it's her car.
And, Where was this?
This was actually on Seabright Beach, like one street down off of the main strip on Seabright. And we were laying up in the car, and the cop banged on the side of my door, leaving three divots.
How do you know it was a police officer?
We heard them. They actually asked us, Santa Cruz Police, rise and shine.
And what time was it?
It was about 2:30 in the morning.
And did they say anything else?
They asked us to get out of the car and told us that they knew that we were in there, but we didn't move the whole time.
Was there any comment that there had been a complaint?
Not complain so much as try to get us out of there. They broke my door handle trying to break into my lock to try and rip us out of the car.
The point being is when we didn't reply, after about 3 minutes, they left, which means they didn't even know if we were in there. They were just beating up a car that looked like somebody might have been sleeping in there.
Shouldn't you be privileged to be kind of guest test run, folks? I mean, you could have been major sleep criminals instead of the small fry that you are.
What's that mean?
I'm not sure.
We could be murderers sleeping in our car.
You could be deep sleepers.
Yeah, but so could the fucking white-collar conservative guy working at Starbucks right up the road. You know, you never know.
Never. That would never happen. We know that.
Well, I see.
No, I just feel absolutely violated because they kicked in my driver's side door and broke my handle.
Have you considered making a complaint to the authorities?
If I considered making it, they would deny it completely.
Well, that's fine, but you would nonetheless be... Of course, you also don't know which police officers these were, right?
No.
How many were there?
There was two.
And did they make any comments as they proceeded to dismantle your vehicle?
No, except that they were going to get us out of there and that to rise and shine.
At 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
maybe they were trying to teach you a new kind of... Maybe there was a lunar thing they wanted you being lunar.
They took their foot on the wheel well of my car and shook it. That's private property on a public street. That's still rude. If I went to their house at 2:30 in the morning and did that, I would get arrested.
Unless you were a police officer.
Unless I was a police officer abusing my power. That's not fair.
Not in Santa Cruz. This woman must surely be either mentally ill or have a vindictive vendetta against our fine police officers.
I don't believe that, but...
Hey, thank you for the update. I mean, you know, and you could, in fact, file a complaint with the Internal Affairs Department of the police station. This was last night this happened?
This happened like two nights ago.
So this Thursday night happened on Tuesday, Wednesday morning, or...
Yeah, about a Wednesday morning.
Well, probably, Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning, yeah. I was very appalled that they would do something like that.
Let me know if you hear of any other similar incidents happening, and we'll be playing this on free radio.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Meantime, keep your curtains closed.
We do. Thank you very much.
All right, and where's my hug? Thank you. Dan Hemingway, you've been complaining again. What's going on here?
Oh, I'm not really complaining. I just am voicing my opinion of the prioritization of the law enforcement lately. I tried cooperating with Officer Hoppy, nicknamed Agent Smith, by, you know, I'm poor lately, so I can't afford my prescription card, but I do use marijuana to ease my stomach from systemic candidiasis. And he made an agreement. He said, don't smoke it on the Ave, and I don't care if you smoke pot. I say, fine, and I was hiding one night smoking it, and he came up on me, and I reminded him of his deal, and he said, I'm sorry you were in the public eye because I saw you. I told him, well, you followed me here, and actually I have permission to be here. But he said, do you have warrants? I said, I never took care of the skateboarding ticket. So he arrested me for an infraction. Thank you so much. And, whoa!
I'm sorry. Oh, man, you picked it up.
Oh! It's crumbling. Sorry about that.
A case of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that fell to earth.
The jelly side had a little attitude, but I think I won. Anyway, I went to jail for this infraction, and boy, do they take good care of you in that jail. I mean, I had the deluxe fish kit. I was happy and fine. I had court the next day, and they insisted on ORing me, a homeless man with no phone number, address, and kicked me out of the jail before court the next day. I told them I can't promise to appear. It's a bigger crime than skateboarding, and without a shower and a ride, I got to make it to the food lines. They threw me out. I did my best the next morning, and my bicycle tire blew out. So I called the number where they gave me an endless recording menu that used up the time at the homeless shelter phone. So I now have an added I don't know if they step it up from infraction once you have a failure to appear, but
misdemeanor.
I'm sure I'm going right back for another visit over to Camp Snoopy for skateboarding, but I feel lucky. It's fine. If they can keep me more than 3 days, I'll quit cigarettes. But I have this friend on parole. Sorry, I don't remember his name. Thank you so much. And he was on parole and got a camping ticket. Missed the morning of court, and they are looking for him to do 1 year for his camping violation on parole violation.
Do you know his name?
I gave him the Huff number, and I recommended that...
He hasn't called yet, but perhaps he will.
I just told him today, and he needs...
Let me understand this. He missed a court appearance, and as a consequence, he's getting a parole violation for a camping ticket for of 1 year back in jail?
1 year in the penitentiary, actually, and it was a condition of his parole release, that he obey all the laws, and...
Not sleep at night in Santa Cruz.
Well, not sleep if you're homeless. Otherwise, while you and your family sleep, they want everyone broke awake. I don't know why, but it's the rules.
Well, it's a way of protecting our community. See, if you're awake, you're able to protect your betters who are asleep.
I think so. At least there will be a witness or something, huh?
Or something, yes. Any other thoughts, Dan?
Well, I would think with the jail overcrowding and with their insistence on ORing people, they might as well have you sign on the street rather than give you a shower, you know, a little TV time and such. But if you're going to go to a jail, Santa Cruz is got to be one of the best. I've never done any length of time, but it was most comfortable, and they protect all your rights except for giving you the right to make 3 completed phone calls. They will force you to sign that one on the way out.
Interesting. You know, when I went to jail recently for whispering at city council about a year ago, I was I actually found that the payphones are were at that time you could use them to make calls that were collect, and I guess you could also use them to make free phone calls, but you didn't find that to be the case in the holding cell.
Once I had been through their intake process and sat in the cement room for a while, they said there's phones everywhere there. When I started singing a call about the right to make 3 completed phone calls, they pointed to a payphone, which, you know, you really can't call the boss collect at a business. It gets blocked. But actually, they didn't house me the first time I went to jail, so they made me sign papers saying I had 3 phone calls on the way out. And this time they did the same thing, except they did give me a PIN code once I got housed, but that, you know, it would have been a $40 bail, and it would have all been taken care of long before I got housed had I had $40 to put up for bail. But I feel like a skateboarding one, that's one to stay for, to just get it taken care of, because I've already made 3 payments on the ticket, and it... You know, once the job's gone, I couldn't pay, and so there I go anyway.
You skated on that one?
Yes, I would say I skated on that one. And once again, they're breaking a deal that if I keep it off the mall, they wouldn't bother me. But they each make their own individual rules.
Well, you know what Robert Stack of the Untouchables always used to say?
No.
No deals.
Yes, I've decided that Agent Hoppy is... not worth cooperating with, because he will really get ticket happy no matter what you do and claim that he's forced to give you a ticket if he sees it.
There's a seminar, I think it's called Police Ticketers Anonymous, that deals with this problem that some police officers have, for example, Pam Bechtel, of compulsively giving out tickets or enforcing non-existent rules.
Yes, some of them are just the pull-out-of-the-hat, move-along laws. You know, we've many times exposed the hypocrisy by, you know, a homeless man quickly trying to cross Pacific, getting stopped and threatened for having a dog, while a lady goes by with her poodle window shopping, and we will point them out, but they use their discretion. They say once they see something, they have to cite, but it depends on how well-to-do you look.
Poodles are so much more fashionable.
Well, yes, except when you have to protect yourself from rangers that cut up tents and things like that. It's more handy to have Bull Mastiff or Rottweiler or possibly Pit Bull or something like that. I feel that gets them
rocket launcher.
Oh, yeah. I had a dog, Bubba, in Santa Barbara. They hated the dog because, well, they were scared bad, and they didn't want to run up on me in a militant fashion when I had the dog, so they took it away and killed it. Put it on.
When was this?
This was in 92. They actually said that they're putting the dog on 10-day rabies quarantine at the city pound. Even though I had a license, they felt the need to do this. And I called every day, and on the sixth day when I called, they said they put him to sleep. It was a six-day thing, and I shouldn't have been calling the city. It was county pound, and that I was misinformed.
Wow. Santa Barbara. I was actually down in Santa Barbara working there for a year with the Legal Defense Center. You may remember Will Hastings was a attorney in charge of that at that time.
Not really, but I did work at Raytheon doing microwave missile guidance in Goleta at Racer.
Another group entirely.
Yes. You know, there's a lot of confidentiality rules and security and so forth, but, gosh, we sell about as much to the Saudis as we do to U.S. Navy.
But if you're working to Raytheon, what were you doing with your dog in the woods?
Actually, I took both sides, like here. Had a nice place for many years, and, well, once you get laid off, you just kind of feel like life is so much longer on unemployment, and I don't know, I try to spend most of it seeing so they took it out of my check, and I usually miscalculate things like breaking an arm mountain biking or, I don't know, it's my own bad I'm where I'm at, but need a little help to get back on feet.
Thank you, Dan Hemingway.
Thank you, and I would like to get more in touch with Cop Watch to try to see about passing out Santa Cruz Penal Code, which claims that before an officer can search you or ID you, they need to do an oral or written survey on probable cause. I think it would help a lot of the poor that are being targeted for poorness, I guess. I never drink, but I have police officers pull alongside me while I sit at a bus bench saying they got a call about somebody drinking. And I don't know what attracts them, but it seems that poverty does, because for 10 years working at Nova and living at Pleasure Point, they never looked my way twice, but now I have a collection of tickets now that I can't afford them.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
And that, of course, was Dan Hemingway from, gosh, a couple days ago. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. You're tuned to 101.1 FM. I'm Robert Norris. You're also perhaps listening to us on the internet at www.freakradio.org. A couple of notes for you. This show also airs on Sunday. As I say, I come back on Sunday and throw a lot of new stuff your way. I'm hoping to have a couple of guests on Sunday. One is going to be Michael Deal, who's an activist who's been instrumental in pressing forward with restoring civil rights for homeless in Berkeley. And he works with BOSS, B-O-S-S, up there, as well as with various other organizations, some of them more grassroots. But the public is calling. Rather, the public was calling. Call on back, 427-3772, and I will respond, and the rest of the community can hear what you've got to say, too. If you've got something you want to say off-air, the number to call is 423-4833, and I'll get back to you later. But again, on Sunday, hope to have Michael Deal talking about updates from Berkeley, where it seems like there's kind of a general upsurge of activism in a number of different places. I've mentioned Larry Milligan has a demonstration. I'm not sure if it's today or tomorrow. It's either the 14th or the 15th down in San Diego. He's the person who, along with eight other homeless people, is challenging the statewide anti-lodging law with the help of, I guess, is it a National Lawyers Guild attorney and then a public defender, some other volunteer attorneys down there in San Diego. And he's been on the air talking about it. I'm hoping to get some more details from him, and he's actually been kind of advising us up here in our sleeping ban lawsuit against the city's municipal code 6.36, which is the citywide sleeping ban, which makes it illegal to sleep outside on all public property and much private property after the hour of 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning, and also illegal to cover up with a blanket. Actually, that's called the blanket ban. Laws that, in essence, become selective tools for the police to simply criminalize homeless people that they want to get rid of or have some grievance against, or to go after protests. And it's, to me, a clear violation of basic civil rights for poor people who have no legal place to go. And Huff and the Human Rights Organization and some other groups, some folks from the Homeless Services Center even have talked about this lawsuit, and we are kind of churning into fundraising mode, much as I hate fundraising, and also kind of getting looking to hire someone essentially to fill out the complaint, which requires a lot of research. And I'll be talking more about that on the air as we move along. A couple more notes. On Monday, there's a very interesting Tent University starting, and that's probably, for those of you who've been listening on Free Radio, something you've already heard about on Free Radio. You can certainly read about and hear about on Santa Cruz Indie Media. And that's www.santacruz.indiemedia.org. And it's also was the subject of the headline of today's Urinal, also known as the Santa Cruz Sentinel. UC activists plan Tent City. UCSC Chancellor, overnight stays will not be allowed. And I actually had a brief exchange with Mayor Rutkin about this issue today as I happened to be at City Hall before I headed north to get the current issue of Street Spirit, which is now going to be available. For those of you who are looking for it, you can leave a message on the Huff line at 423-4833. Or you can give a call to activist Becky Johnson at 479-9291. She's, I guess, going to try to help distribute this. We don't really have a downtown distributor for Street Spirit. My car is, I don't have a car at the moment. I'm hoping to get one. And there's nobody downtown really doing the distributing. So we're looking for a distributor, but we're trying to find ways of doing that. There should be some out at the Homeless Service Center. There should be some at the Page Smith Community House. And the new issue is, we've got a bunch of them finally. The March issue, for my apologies on that, which has some good articles, it disappeared. It was stolen. And this April issue is available. The March issue, in case you want to read it, is actually in the library. We did get a copy to the library, so it is available there. And Street Spirit is now online, for those of you who are interested in Street Spirit, which is the newspaper sold by homeless people here, one of them, in Santa Cruz, on San Francisco, Oakland, East Bay, and other cities as well. A lot of interesting articles on trying to restore civil rights for homeless people and issues of interest to those who care about what's going on with folks outside and, you know, situation where you may find yourself there one of these days, or perhaps you have already, and are looking back and wondering what you can do to help. I think it's www.thestreetspirit.org, I believe, is the website, in case you want to check out the February issue of Street Spirit, which I think is actually now online. And many of the back issues, as I said, are in the main branch of the downtown library, and you can check them out there. So on Monday, a Tent City begins at the University of California. Huff should be up there, assuming we have some volunteers to cover it. If you want to help with the Huff Tent, where we're going to be doing some, have some literature available, and perhaps do some video showings of past protests and how kind of the history of homeless activism in Santa Cruz and different struggles that's gone through. You can come on up to the tent and check it out. You can, if you want to help volunteer to help with that tent, you can also give a call to the same Becky Johnson at 479-9291. Or you can leave a message on the Huff line at 423-4833. Should be very interesting, this kind of nexus of different causes and concerns coming together up on campus at Tent University next week. And there's a lot of information, as I mentioned before, at santacruzindiemedia.org, so I encourage you to go there. There's also this this rather weak, inadequate, and somewhat misleading article. It's misleading in a certain sense in the Sentinel about the Tent University. I note that it doesn't mention at all the kind of iron fist that the university is using. It does mention that they are cautioning the students that overnight stays will not be allowed, and they have their usual, they have their pretexts. Serious consequences await violators of UCSC's no camping policies. That's actually UCSC and the city of Santa Cruz. Warned a statement issued by the university Wednesday. Violators will face maximum sanctions, including suspension or dismissal, as well as possible legal action if state or county laws are broken. And meanwhile, Tent University spokesperson Eric Edelman claimed the university is violating student rights of assembly and free speech, whereas, of course, the UCSC Chancellor Denise Denton knows best, saying the issue is student safety. We know what's best for you students. While we fully support civil debate, open dialogue, and alternative education, we cannot ensure the safety of large numbers of students camping for an extended period at the campus, she said in the statement. Concerns include noise from loudspeakers and live music, sanitation, danger of fire, and so forth. And if you go online to look at the issue on Indy Media and see how they're, what's being said there, there is a story, you see, Long Live Tent University Rally on Monday, that reads as follows. At a meeting on Monday between members of UCSC Upper Administration Campus Police, this was last Monday, and several Tent University Santa Cruz organizers, the police administration delegation asserted in no uncertain terms that they will act to prevent Tent University Santa Cruz from taking place. At the very outset of our scheduled commencement of Tent U next Monday morning, a sizable police presence will likely be assembled at the base of the campus, ready to try to dismantle any tents we attempt to erect and arrest anyone who does not comply with their orders. The administrators at the meeting threatened that campus judicial procedures do not work like city ones, while there is a specific penalty where in the city there is a specific penalty for a specific crime, so they can legally take whatever punitive actions they deem appropriate. And this is the thing that was not mentioned in the Sentinel article. They collected the names and ID numbers of the four Tenant University Santa Cruz organizers at the meeting before reading them a list of possible consequences for carrying out plans to organize Tent U. Among the potential consequences they listed was expulsion. The administrators said they were upset because, according to them, we have lied throughout the process of our negotiations. That we have been anything but truthful and straightforward with them is a serious misconception on their part, writes this Tent University author who doesn't sign his name, but gives a website to go to respond, I guess, tentstate.com/UCSC. And he says further that we have been extremely transparent in every aspect of our organizing of Tent University. I have seen it mentioned on the internet repeatedly. They put out kind of open notices, and we have been very direct in responding to their concerns. Unfortunately, UCSC's upper administration are operating under a series of illusions regarding the purpose of Tent University, and this has caused them to overreact to a staggering extent. As the UCSC administration's attitude towards TUSC, Tent University Santa Cruz, clearly demonstrates, the biggest lie of all is that which goes unstated, that UCSC students are free, autonomous agents of their own educational destinies. We, the Tent U organizers, devised TUSC as an event which, while certainly subversive, would above all be educational, festive, and entirely nonviolent. We urgently need support. We will continue to negotiate with campus administration to the best of our ability, without compromising any of our central principles, of course, but our need for a large critical mass at Tent U is now much greater than before. Please join us this Monday, that's Monday coming up, at Bay Tree Plaza at 11 a.m. With our basic free speech rights dramatically under assault, we will rally and march to the base of campus where we will conduct a ribbon-cutting ceremony. The administration has informed us that they will begin arresting people once we begin setting up structures, so we will hold the first day of Tent U without any structures to establish it as a positive educational and festive space. We hope to see you this Monday. Down with the UCSC administration's enclosures. Long live Tent University, yours for the cause of freedom, liberation, and democracy. The Tent University Santa Cruz organizers. And I keep encourage any Tent University folks who are listening in and want to give a report on this or talk about it on this show to give me a call. If we don't talk about it today, I'll come back on Sunday and do that. And I believe that there is a Tent University meeting. It's either tomorrow or Friday. I'm trying to look at the Friday, 5 p.m., Stevenson Classroom 175 is what the flyer here online says, and I hope it's not referring to last Friday. I would assume it's referring to this upcoming Friday. And for those who are interested, again, go to the Indie Media website, santacruzindiemedia.org, and check out what's cooking. And the interesting thing is, this isn't just sort of a local action. I mean, I'm all for local actions, but it also sort of ties in with actions around the state. Of course, the strike today on campus, which has also been getting a lot of play on Indie Media, it's all kind of linked, not to mention the anti-war movement. And who knows? Maybe we're getting a caller on this subject. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. I'm calling because did you notice on the other side of the page, the cover of Sentinel, that the city has decided to agree to send a message to President Bush to begin immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq?
I did, and what I want to do is, actually, I just noticed it now that you mentioned it, but I know that it happened yesterday in the afternoon session of the City Council. I think they moved to support the resolution by Lynn Walzey, a congresswoman who, along with about a couple dozen others, have a resolution that asks that the U.S., that Bush initiate a plan to begin the withdrawal of troops.
Wow.
Well, my response is not wow, but more like, you know, I mean, I'd like to see those troops removed. I don't want to see a plan initiated
to
begin. You know, it sounds to me a little bit tenuous and, you know, and a little bit extended and a little bit. But again, I haven't looked at the actual wording of the resolution. I suspect from what I was reading earlier before the council meeting, I didn't go to that afternoon council session. I went to the evening session last night before last. It was the Walzey resolution, which is certainly better than anything that's come through Congress yet, and it hasn't come through Congress. It's, I'm sure, bottled up in some little committee somewhere. But, you know, the city council's 2 years late in doing anything on this issue, but I suppose, I mean, it's certainly good you draw my attention to it.
Yeah, well, you know, there was some petitions going on every Thursday night that I thought was faxed to the city hall council to tell them that we wanted the U.S. out of Iraq. So I was hoping maybe those petitions might have influenced him partially.
Well, I think I don't know if those petitions have gotten to city council yet, frankly. It's possible that some of them have. I know they've been mentioned at various at oral communications at city council. I know what we were asking for was what sort of what the Arcata City Council did last summer, which called for the immediate withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan and Iraq. Actually, we didn't mention Afghanistan. They did.
It actually says immediate in the paper, but I don't know.
Right.
There's actually not the letter. It's not the letter in here.
Right. I'm not saying that isn't necessarily true. They might have amended the motion and made it better, so I'm going to have to take a look at that, and maybe on Sunday I'll have a better report on that. But
yeah, it'll be interesting.
I appreciate your drawing my attention to that.
Yeah, I was thinking it's about time, but yeah, I had my doubts about what it really was about. Maybe it was just so people could say, oh, we like our city council now, and then it turned out to be some big...
Well, the main thing is that, you know, they are not only are they months behind Arcata,
yeah,
but they are, you know, several months behind the rather conservative, relatively conservative Representative Farr compared to, I think, the sentiment of Santa Cruz City and County. I mean, people here showed up in the, you know, 3,000 to 7,000 strong in February of 2003 when they marched, had the biggest march in a decade down, you know, from the county building up to Mission Plaza Park, urging people to, you know, get out of, urging the military to get, not to invade Iraq. And, you know, the kind of gloomy thing is that nothing has happened since of any,
yeah,
of any magnitude or even, you know, even a tenth that magnitude. We have had very small responses. So,
yep.
I mean, maybe this is the beginning of something. I mean, I know they had a veterans event, kind of a reading of the names of the dead on Sunday. Did you get to that by any chance?
I was actually not far from it. There was a American Indian doing some kind of a sacred prayer, and I don't know, it sounded like he was speaking in his American Indian language. So it was pretty short. They had a little bugle, da da da, you know, something like that.
That was across. That was near the Veterans Building or the post office, that area.
It was right where that statue is, across the street from the post office.
And
that eagle.
Uh huh. And how many people showed up?
It looked like there was maybe about, could have been 50 people, maybe less. Maybe less than that. It could have been more like 30. It wasn't very big, but there was a crowd. So, you know, it filled the space there, so it was a few people. But I wasn't really impressed by it because, to me, it's just mourning the dead. I would like to have seen them with a bunch of signs protesting the war myself.
I hear you. I guess, anything and everything is good as far as I'm concerned, so I'm glad that something is going on. I see these little flurries of activity. I know that SAFE, which I guess you work with, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, the musical street performers group, was doing a shindig downtown on Sundays along with an anti-war group. But the anti-war people kind of dissipated, or
they just didn't show up. Although there was a lot of rain, but I haven't seen them down there since. I don't know if they got scattered or what. Never heard from them again.
But again, there was a very successful anti-war recruiters off campus event that actually apparently persuaded the military recruiters to respect UCSC codes and not, you know, be an organization that discriminates against gay people recruiting on their campus.
Yeah, that was great.
And they actually left after being, you know, the campus administrators apparently were bullied into letting them come on by the threat of the withdrawal of federal funds. But the students said no thanks, and they beat a retreat, and that was great.
Yeah, and the Sentinel was stupid because they were saying that they thought that they had a right to have free speech. You know, the recruiters had a right to free speech. But that wasn't free speech. They were doing active, trying to get people to go and fight a war that was wrong. If they're free speech, they could go up there and they could say things to people, but they were actually doing an action that was, so the others were doing an action against them. That was a free speech action, and, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with going out there and telling the people, we don't like you up here recruiting, any more than it was wrong maybe for them to be up there recruiting, I suppose. I mean, you might as well have them against them if they're going to be...
Well, I think that the main point was you can't recruit for an organization which discriminates against people on the basis of sexual orientation.
That was the
Army.
Big deal in itself anyway.
And the
so
Marines.
What they were talking about, saying that, well, they had a right to free speech, you know, so people had a right to say, hey, you know, you're discriminating. So that was kind of silly that they put that down. I think that whoever wrote that letter in the Sentinel has their ideas all twisted around. They don't know what they're talking about. They sounded like young kids who had not studied activism or anything. They didn't know anything about it.
Or old geezers on the Sentinel editorial staff. You never can tell.
Totally unexperienced. Here
but
they
you know
are.
There were some
in Santa Cruz. They don't know anything about that.
There were some more recent letters that were better. Thank you for calling in. Is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, that was all. I just was wondering if you'd seen that article.
No, I mean, actually, I hadn't until you brought it to my attention. Thank you.
All right.
All righty.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Phone lines open, 427-3772. This is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. I'm Bathrop's Pier Robert. You're welcome to call and give your thoughts. A couple of other notes. On Sunday, there's going to be a direct action training at the Resource Center for Nonviolence around the Tent University situation coming up next week, where it appears there may be a confrontation with police and administrators there seems to be some difference of opinion. When I talked to Mayor Rotkin earlier today, he told me he thought that there was only going to be a problem if they set up tents and tried to stay all night. What it appears, the report on Indy Media seems to indicate that the police will stop any kind of setting up of tents. It's not too clear what's going on, except that the more people who are present supporting this, I think, important action, the better. And it's also kind of hypocritical because university students have camped up there officially under UCSC auspices without any permits, I think as part of the agricultural project and a number of other projects, routinely. Now, it's true that it was a smaller number, but the idea that students can't manage this kind of a thing, I think, is, I'm betting they can. So, again, the number to call, 427-3772. Remind you that Anne Fagan Ginger, Challenging U.S. Human Rights, a book she's edited, Violations Since 9/11, she'll be talking about that tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the Vets Hall. And you can also check out a couple of interviews that have been done here on Free Radio, too, by me. And I don't know if George's interview has been archived, but you can check out www.huffsantacruz.org to hear those interviews. Looks like we got a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. This is John Tilkin.
Hey, John.
I'm the Human Rights Organization.
What's shaking?
The Human Rights Organization is taking a little bit of a break this next weekend. One of our members is not going to be able to be there, so we're moving the meeting to the following weekend, which will be the 23rd. That will be happening at 1:45 p.m. at the Homeless Services Center cafeteria on Saturday.
That's out 23rd. On Coral Street.
Yeah, Coral Street.
Are you guys going to be up on at the Tent University doing any stuff next week?
Are we going to be doing anything at Tent University?
Uh-huh.
Well, I might bring the television to show some videos or something.
Yeah, cool.
So show some previous protests.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the Human Rights Organization specifically is going to be there.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention a couple of other things, though. One is that I couldn't find a lot of the commentary you were talking about on Santa Cruz Indy Media. I saw only the Students Occupy University of Mary Washington offices for living wage. That seemed to be the main commentary that was being put on Indy Media right at the moment. I mean, that's fine that they're publicizing that, but that's the only commentary I could find. And then the other thing was that on the weekend of the 24th, on Sunday the 24th in San Francisco, there's going to be a Michael Ferrandi concert celebrating Mumia Abu-Jamal's 51st birthday. It's going to be kind of a rally for Mumia and a concert with Michael Ferrandi. I think it costs $20 for regular admission and $15 for students and seniors to get into the auditorium.
Where is it?
It's at Mission High School at 18th and Dolores in San Francisco, and right near Dolores Park.
And what day and what time again?
Sunday, April 24th at 2 o'clock.
Well, regarding the Tent University, you were wondering where the stuff is online?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the page right now, the main page, the main story page for SantaCruzIndyMedia.org. First story is special issue of the project for statewide strike at UC on April 14th. And there's anti-CAFTA rally on April 15th. And then the third story down is the Tent University Santa Cruz, April 18th through 22nd, claiming UCSC as our own, plus a number of stories along the sidebar, which I encourage people to look at. I think the first one of note is Long Live Tent University rally on Monday. So I encourage you to take a look there.
Okay.
Anything
else?
I'm
kind of down at the bottom of the page nowadays. I don't know why.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
All right. Thanks.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And 427-3772 is the number to call. Pagesincolor.com is the chat room, which apparently I don't pay too much attention to. I get, but there is a little chatting going on. Let me check out what's happening. Looks like that there was a report from Harbor High School campus. The Army there was there with a table recruiting students. Maybe somebody actually went there and can give us a sense of what went down, whether the students were favorable, unfavorable. So maybe we can get, if anybody knows anything about that, which happened today, somebody might want to call in here at 427-3772. And while I'm waiting for that flood of calls, let's hear a few more street interviews, and I'll be back.
So it is April 10th, about
10 to 2 in sunny Pacific Avenue in front of the internet store. We're talking with
Daniel Pierce.
Now, you have an interesting sign here. Bet you can't hit me with a quarter. Will betcha. Who has been able to hit you with a quarter today?
Only one person.
And how much are you betting?
I'm not betting anything, but I get the quarter if you throw it at me.
And are you getting violent, gentle tosses, sort of so-so? How's it going?
Oh, they chuck it as hard as they can.
I see. So people are showing their sadistic impulses.
Oh, for sure.
How much money have you made off this brutal operation?
Probably about $13, $14.
And how much do you make on an average per hour?
Well, I've only been out here for about an hour and 40 minutes. This is the first time I made this sign.
And so this is the new approach, beat me up for a dollar, that sort of thing?
Pretty much. Take it as you will.
Bum fights in Santa Cruz.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Are the police obliging you by hitting you with a truncheon occasionally?
No, but they haven't came around yet, but they might.
And have the hosts been harassing you for inappropriate signs?
No, not at all.
And have you gotten any kisses or hugs and as sympathy for your situation?
No, not even dimes.
Well, here I will simply drop a quarter on you.
Thank you.
If I can find a quarter here. Sorry, you're going to be stuck with 33 cents.
Perfect.
Sorry about that. I didn't get the thrill of pummeling you, but next time, perhaps.
Perhaps.
And here in front of Borders, we have the infamous Washtub Accordion Band.
Then I know it's a good time to die. But that devil was dancing on my Ian Van grave. No, I don't think I ever be saved. Cause that devil was dancing on my Ian Van grave, yeah. I said that devil was a dancing on my Ian Van grave. And I don't think I ever be saved. Yeah, the devil was dancing on my Ian Van grave, yeah.
And we've been listening to the music of
The International Sour Maggot Goblin Band.
And how are the Sour Maggot Goblins doing with respect to the denizens of the law?
They said I had to. My stench was so bad I had to move away from the building.
Indeed. But did they use the word stench or just say move away from the building?
Well, I could see it in their nostrils. Let me put it that way.
And how long ago did this warning come?
Oh, it came a mere half an hour ago. But it was just—they just said I got to move away from the building. If I had a hat.
That's right, a display device.
Yeah. Well, they said a hat. I said if you got a hat, you can't play music next to a building, which is
hats hat.
Very strange law, but what?
This is Santa Cruz.
We got something against hats around here, I think. And I don't see hardly anyone with a hat. That one guy's got a beret, but it's...
Indeed. It's actually a hat as a display device, but let's not get into it any further. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Back in the city again, it's the infamous John Fuck the Pigs Maurer. How you doing, John?
Doing great.
You're the man, of course, with the lawsuit against the city in federal court for a false arrest, actually about 50 feet from here.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really an arrest, I guess, but...
It was a non-custodial arrest. You were cited, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm pretty happy about what's going on with that. It's been removed from, or been dismissed, but we're still following it still, so...
You're seeking to get some sort of assurance that it's not going to happen to the next person, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's why I did it. I mean, it was my right, and the rights are being trampled on here on Pacific Avenue.
You were actually trying to help people out, and you were getting harassed for such things as unattended property and not moving every hour, things of that sort.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, which I don't know if I'm helping anybody else, but I know I am helping myself by standing up for myself instead of being stepped all over and trampled. So
you're back in Santa Cruz after spending some time over in Salinas?
I'm sorry?
You were in Salinas last?
Yeah, I don't like it there. I like it here. People are much friendlier here.
Have you got housing here, or are you outdoors?
I'm outdoors at the moment, but hopefully by the end of the month, beginning of next month, I'll have a place.
You are currently violating the city's camping ordinance?
No, I'm staying at a friend's house. Thank you. Tonight I might be violating the law, but...
we're going to keep our eyes out for you, John.
Of course you will. I'm famous. I'm the infamous John Mauer.
You are the one. Thank you, John.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you.
And to remind folks, John Mauer, who was introduced with the phrase, fuck the pigs, was a man who, after having been harassed four times by the police, put a small sign in his cap which said, fuck the pigs, parentheses, police, end parentheses, in order to express his frustration and indeed anger with the police for, I think he was harassed twice by Officer Bechtel for not moving every hour under the notorious selectively enforced move-along law, which for my money is unconstitutional. It hasn't been enforced against the Huff table for 2 years, but is apparently enforced at the discretion of whatever police officer chooses to go after whichever person. If you have a display device, which is to say anything ranging from a table to a cap with a sign to an open guitar case, if you're a musician, that's supposed to mean you can only be there for an hour. Violation, in my mind, of right to freedom of assembly, unless there's some conflict about the space or some other problem. And he also was trying to help, I guess he was helping an elderly woman get into the Palomar Hotel when he was told his property would be confiscated as unattended. And at some point, he simply got very angry and he put a little sign in his head. He didn't attack anybody physically. He didn't scream at anybody. He simply expressed his view. And the police then went after him and gave him two citations, $162 each for having that in his hat. When he tried to take it to court to challenge it, they dropped the citation to avoid the challenge. And attorney Paul Sanford and Kate Wells have taken the case to federal court to sue. And it's interesting, the city attorney, by the reports I've heard from attorney Kate Wells, has been essentially lying to the courts. That is to say, he has been citing a different code section repeatedly than the current code section. The current panhandling law has undergone a number of different incarnations, a number of changes. It's been changed twice, for the worse, actually. And they're struggling for a way to get out of this unconstitutional law without being held accountable. And they're essentially misrepresenting the situation by saying that here's the law, and this is what we were trying to do. The law that he was his sign. They claimed he was asking for spare change while swearing at people, because he had the sign, "Fuck the pigs," in his hat. But in fact, he was quite courteous, and I think he was also silent. I don't think he actually panhandled verbally. He did so. I believe he did so silently with the sign, although it's legal to panhandle verbally, though not from a seated position. Bizarrely enough, though, you'll see people do it a lot on Pacific Avenue. The strange Rotkin-Matthews law, passed by Mayor Rotkin and Vice Mayor Matthews back in 1994 and then reaffirmed in 2002 and made worse, says that if you ask for spare change from a seated position anywhere in Santa Cruz, on any public space, that's a criminal activity. You do it twice, it's a misdemeanor. It's a completely abusive and absurd law that has nothing to do with aggressive panhandling or abusive panhandling, but simply is the way the police have of removing people who they don't want there, or having essentially the merchants use the police and security forces to do the same thing. It's something I've fought for years and will continue to fight, and I encourage others to fight as well. So, another thing in the paper today, but the paper was kind of chocked full. I didn't read it until I just came into the studio about an hour and a half ago. But there are several stories. There's the UC activist plan Tent City. There's another story, Santa Cruz prostitute sting has police busy, and that's a controversial issue, which I don't know if I'm going to get into that today. And the third issue is pot co-op's plea falls on deaf ears at Santa Cruz City Hall. Let's see what we got coming in, however, on the phone line. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, this is John again.
Hey, John.
I just wanted to give you a little update on what happened with the strike today.
The strike up at UCSC.
Yeah, at UCSC.
Are you based on your reading on Indy Media, or were you up there?
I went up there for just a little
Okay.
A fair number of people up there, maybe 500 or so, hanging out at the basic campus with all their signs for whatever union they were involved with, marching around the intersection there. And the bus drivers were all deciding that they were going to only drive up to the basic campus, turn around, and come back. They were not driving through campus. And I guess there were some shuttles available if they wanted to, if students wanted to go on campus. The regular Santa Cruz bus drivers were not going on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened up there.
Huh. There wasn't any, people didn't rush into classes and say, come out, come out, and then hundreds of folks came out of classes and so forth.
Well, there were some cars that were driving people down to the basic campus from inside the campus. I didn't go up there to see what they were doing exactly.
How, were there a lot of police presence or...
Not that I could see.
And how about media?
I didn't see a whole lot of media there. I didn't even see any alternative media there.
Hot dog.
Unless you want to count Pages in Color as alternative media.
Hamburger stands, hot dog vendors.
No, there were some tables there for various organizations, including Dan Cooper had a table for his petitions that he was getting people to sign,
mm-hmm.
which are actually, some of the Democratic petitions are actually supported by the SEIU, just so you know.
Mm.
Finally figured out who it is that's actually behind these petitions, and it turns out for a lot of them it's the SEIU, the ones that are not sponsored by Arnold Schwarzenegger or sponsored by the SEIU.
Well, it tells me a little something, but the SEIU can mean a number of things. It can mean the rank and file SEIU, or it can mean the clowns at the top who sponsor the Santa Cruz Coast Hotel Project. It can mean a number of different things. So, I mean, that's a question I know I asked you, John. I ask, when petitioners come up to me and say, hey, how'd you like to sign my petition? It's only going to go on the ballot. My answer is, who's sponsoring this thing? And up to now, no petitioner has been able to tell me who's been sponsoring their petition. They'll say, oh, the so-and-so company is, you know, the company, petition company is circulating it around. I say, no. Who's putting in the money to pay for this petition?
I'm not sure if the SEIU is coming up with all the money, but they are supporting it specifically.
Right. I mean, that's something I think a lot of local people want to know before they sign a petition that, you know, I mean, we're all for, you know, letting the democratic process work, but we also are aware of the corporate abuses of that process.
Yeah.
So.
And I did find out a little bit more about the one petition which I was questioning was the one that gives you 3 days to take your used car back to your automobile dealer. Mm-hmm. Apparently, according to Dan Cooper, there is no law which covers a lemon that's a used car, apparently, currently in the state of California. But there is a law which covers new cars, which allows you to have up to 2 weeks to take your new car back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to distinguish between the fact that this petition covers used cars versus the current law, which only covers new cars.
Well, then the next question is there an even better law in the legislature which this law preempts, which could also be the case? I mean, you need to go online and look up the proposition and opponents of it and see what the discussion is around it.
Right.
Particularly if you're a conscientious and aware petition gatherer like yourself, who's not only concerned with making a buck, but is concerned with doing the right thing. So.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll just have to do more signature gathering tomorrow and see if I can get out there and do it.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I didn't see a whole lot of other activity going on at that rally.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess there was a band there, and they were playing some songs and chanting, carrying on, and stuff like that.
Well, I know that, I guess, tomorrow you often do Peace Friday. And
yeah, and I was also thinking about going up to campus. There's supposed to be another rally tomorrow for anti-CAFTA rally, Central America Free Trade Agreement.
I think I saw that.
CAFTA stands for, and apparently they're shoving NAFTA down the throats of the rest of the Central American countries now.
Yeah,
CAFTA.
CAFTA is a Central American Free Trade Agreement. Looking at it online, April 15th, 12 noon, in front of the Bay Tree Bookstore.
Apparently, Sam Farr has come out against it, along with a few other Democrats, and even the Republicans, some of them are against it because they're in the southern sugar belt states or whatever, and they don't want to have their sugar crops affected by CAFTA. So they're against it for that reason. Mm. So both sides of the aisle are coming out against it, at least in small measure.
If it can only come out against NAFTA as well as CAFTA, how happy we'll all be. Yeah. Okay, anything else?
No, that should do it.
Hey, thank you, John.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Phone lines open, 427-3772. Call in if you'd like. Also, Pages in Color is the chat room to chat on. Interested in hearing if anybody knows more about the Harbor High School dueling recruiters and anti-recruiters, if any of that happened. Seems like, you know, there's a lot more activity going on than there was half a year ago or a year ago, which encourages me. Meanwhile, in my little neck of the woods, I turned in another letter to Mayor Mike Rotkin today, who actually saw in the office this morning around 10 o'clock when I stopped in there. He's, I think I've mentioned already on the air in the past shows that there was a law passed, I think by initiative, that expands the Sunshine open public records sort of situation and requires public officials to make documents available that, for example, show their schedules, who they have met in the last month, who they intend to meet, and so forth. And this can be useful for a number of reasons. I mean, you want to know what lobbyists Arnold Schwarzenegger is meeting with, how long he's spending with them, and you want to know, you know, what police groups Mike Rotkin is meeting with, and it's also useful to know what groups that they intend to meet with, because in some cases those meetings should be public, and in some cases they are public, and because of the crackdown on public comment at City Council that I've talked about a lot, that the Mayor Rotkin, as you may remember, sponsored a change in the council rules that cut back public comment time significantly around issues that are on the so-called consent and the administrative agendas. As say, many of the items that happen in the afternoon, used to be able to speak for 3 minutes on these items. Now you can only speak for a total of 5 minutes on all consent agenda items. And on administrative items, you can only speak for 3 minutes on the first item and 1 minute on each successive item. Sounds extremely arbitrary when most of the time at City Council, the lion's share of the time, is taken up by council members who do not, unlike federal legislators, limit themselves but to the amount of time they speak, and instead limit the public. And they don't limit the staff to the amount of time the staff goes on and on and spends, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on the Santa Cruz Coast Hotel, for example, which they've dumped down the toilet. And then we're expected to keep, you know, to rush in and have our 3 minutes say and somehow respond to all this stuff. And we're unable to ask meaningful questions of the staff, of course, because there's no dialogue between the public and the staff. There's no oversight for the redevelopment agencies, the redevelopment agency and the staff, and Cecile Cirillo, who has essentially her own private kingdom and does her own deals. And then she seems to come and she shoves this agenda to the City Council and they ram it through. And the only time it gets stopped is when members of the community get together and say, hold it, and they get an initiative together, and they say, halt, and then suddenly, you know, the boys have their toys taken away, and some of the girls, too, Matthews and Cirillo. So I'm concerned about public comment and the public process and the openness of the public process. So I went to Mayor Rotkin's office today, and I actually to the City Council offices, and I requested a time to speak to him, and he said, sure. Mike Rotkin and I have no trouble talking to each other. We may seem like we're at each other's throats at City Council, but we're quite amiable in private. I mean, there's no point in being uncomfortable or difficult with him. I mean, I certainly will call him out in public. He needs to be called out. These politicians need to be taken down in public, exposed for their lies, their inaction, collusion with human rights abuses. I mean, if you look at what happened at City Council on Tuesday night when there were, what, 6, 7, 8, 9 medical marijuana people came and spoke about there being no club in Santa Cruz, and here's the planning department closing down the only club, and what's Rotkin going to do about this? And he hasn't got a word to say about that, but he will spend an hour and a half on whether to, you know, add a half foot to a variance in a driveway, you know. It's, and he'll spend a lot of time praising the basketball. Nothing wrong with praising high school basketball, you know, victories. That's fine. But what about people who are sick? What about people who are dying? What about people who are suffering, who are risking jail? What about this essential issue that needs to be addressed, that Rotkin promised he would act on, that he's responsible for in terms of having pushed the current law, which essentially outlaws all clubs in Santa Cruz? Doesn't say so. It says there are areas you can open them up. But every time people try to open them up, there's a reasons for something. Somehow it just doesn't happen. The landlords won't do it, or the planning department finds something wrong with it. And for 5 years, there's been no club. And I actually just did a show on Club Cruise on this issue. Ed Fry and I were interviewed by Becky Johnson. That should be coming out in a week or two. And I keep hoping that Matt Hilliard and Peter Koch of the Pacific Coast Cooperative, the club that was closed down on Pacific Avenue across from the Metro, a distribution center, if you will, distributory, they keep telling me, don't say club. I say, why not? It's a club. So what? You know, come on. Rotkin has really, I mean, it's not to say just dropped the ball on this one. He has hidden the ball away where no one can find it. I guess no balls here, you might say. Anyway, I've made an appointment to meet him on Tuesday. And I'm going to be meeting with him at 8 o'clock in the morning. If anybody has any questions that they want to pass on to him, you can always make your own meeting. He makes meetings with people for 15-minute periods and often stays longer because, frankly, like myself, Rotkin likes to talk. So that happens. But if anybody has any questions they want me to put to Rotkin, give me a call on 423-HUFF, and I may pass them on. I'm gonna try to focus on a couple of issues like medical marijuana, like city council process and so forth, in reopening up the city council again to public comment and debate and discussion. But if you got questions, let me know. I want to tip my hat to Rotkin, which I don't normally do, and I don't like to do it lightly because there's so much that he needs to have. He needs brickbats, not bows in his direction. But I understand that a man living in his vehicle, Mike, who was being threatened, harassed by police, 3 days after he met with the mayor, the harassment at least ceased for the next several weeks, and the mayor agreed to a meeting with the police. And so I congratulate Rotkin on dealing with that one case, but I've got to say that if you listen to these tapes that I play every show, you'll find that there's this continuing process of not just people getting ticketed, not just people getting threatened and warned away for sleeping, but literally being taken to jail because of sleeping warrants. But indeed, you know, homeless people often do not have the wherewithal because they're running around trying to find a place to sleep, trying to find enough to eat, trying to find a job, trying to find clean clothing, place to take a shower, to go to court and make court appointments at the same time for these tickets that essentially have to do with life-sustaining behavior, like sleeping. So people get arrested for it, taken to jail, and what is actually supposed to be a small fine, which was originally going to be $54 in 1999, as was passed by the city council, is now it's $90 for the bail, and once you get to, and it ends up being in overnight in jail and longer fines and failures to appear, and it becomes a much more serious situation for people. Not because of anything they've done, but mostly for what they didn't do, because they weren't able to jump through the court hoops. So it's serious stuff. And the other thing I delivered to the city council was a request for Rotkin's schedule. Because I think because we have this cutback in public comment at city council, if we want to talk to Rotkin in a public way, in a dialogue way with the community, we have to call him out at public events where he is. And those events are often public forums. That is to say, they provide more protection for the free speech rights of the people who are there than the city council, where Rotkin can give you three warnings and then have you arrested if you don't leave the room, even if you're doing nothing. Even if you're holding up your hand in a silent Heil Rotkin salute, which does not disrupt business, which maybe he simply doesn't like. I've seen this happen. It's happened to me, and it's of course intimidating. It produces a kind of a, well, it's a repressive atmosphere, and that's less the case at other public meetings. And I think Rodkin's schedule needs to be known by people. And so if they want to go to those meetings and confront him and ask questions of him, engage in dialogue with him, and indeed picket and demonstrate and demand that he take action to end criminalization of poor people in Santa Cruz, then at least they know where to go. And I've requested that. And so far, the city has not followed the law on this issue. They have not followed the initiative that was passed in November, which even evil Arnold Schwarzenegger follows, is in exposing, revealing, giving out to you a copy of his schedule when he's asked to do so under the Public Records Act. So I filed a second request, and I talk about it on Indie Media for those of you who are interested. You can check out my letter. It's under the phrase Mayor Stalls on Public Records Request for His Schedule, again on the Indie Media website, www.santacruz.indiemedia.org. Let's take a interview break, hear a few more interviews, and then I'll be back.
We're talking with
Michael Washington.
And Michael, I hear from Marilyn, in front of whose stand al fresco you're playing, that you are a roamer.
Well, I wouldn't say a roamer. A traveler, yeah. An adventurer, for sure. I think the term roamer is kind of like somewhat degrading. Yeah. You know.
Traveling man,
adventuring man, yeah. As you can see, I travel on a bicycle. I've been all over the world on my bike. I built this whole unit right here that you're looking at.
How would you describe this bike?
This is a complete expedition class survival unit. Yeah.
It's black. It's got a very low body. This is the bike trailer in the back, and this is a little confused there.
It's not just a bike trailer, it's a transformer toy. Actually, it transforms itself into a flotation device. It can be ported off of the body, it can go over land, over water, or it can be used on the bike as a trailer.
But it doesn't fly.
It doesn't fly, no, it doesn't.
And not underwater.
Not underwater, no.
You see, you have a selection of harmonicas.
Yeah, I do. I got, actually, all together, this is just half the set, right? You're looking at right now, all together, I've got about 32.
It is April 10th, 2005. I'm in front of Alfresco's. And for a second time, I'm quickly trying to grab the attention of... One more time.
Michael Washington.
Michael, you're packing up your guitar and getting ready to, looks like, hit the road on this impressive-looking black bike and bike cart.
This is my artwork. This is what I do, actually, when I'm at home. A lot of people think that, you know, I'm just so homeless.
Ne'er-do-well, scumbag, bum, punk.
Yeah, whatever, scumbag on the side of the street. But actually, I have a PhD. I'm an architectural engineer. I was in U.S. Navy for 14 years. Machinist. I have a lot of trades, actually. This is just happens to be one of the things that I like to do. I ride a bike. I don't do cars. I don't believe in it's necessary to have a car. All we're doing is supporting our dictator, Mon Fuhrer Bush, in the White House and his cronies. I don't even want to call them politicians because that would be to compliment them. Because I don't think none of them have the intelligence that would.
What was the last country you were in other than this one?
The last country I was in was, Mexico. Before that, Central America, Nicaragua.
Rode all the way through?
I've ridden around the world. I've been from Arctic Circle to Antarctic Circle. I've actually logged over 1 million miles in my life. That was 2 years ago, July 17th. I've been without a car 43 years. It was my birthday 2 days ago, April 8th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. 63 years old.
Not a day over 55, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I believe that one. Sure. My life's kind of a... I'm a rare bird. I know I am. I go out in the world, you know, a lot of people ask me, do I work? And I always kind of laugh at that and ask them what the definition of that word. I mean, work to me is like riding a bicycle with all your gear, 310 pounds, up over the Patagonias, the Urals, the Rockies, the Sierras, wherever it happens to be, standing in the pedals, you know. That's real work, you know, and that's takes a lot of jam, takes a lot of balls, you know, to go out and do something like that.
And did you actually ride all the way through Mexico yourself, or did you hitch a ride at any point? Or
I don't do public transportation. I don't do cars. I haven't done it in 43 years, and I'm not going to start now, you know.
How long have you had this particular bike?
I made this bike about 4.5 years ago. I've gone through 16 bikes in my life.
Lost, strayed, stolen, worn out?
They just wear out. Yeah, I just give them up and try something new, you know. As the technology's advanced over the years, metals came available, trailers changed from being, you know, steel to high-tech aluminum alloys. The bikes were, you know, non-suspension, now it's full suspension. You know, I like my comfort, you know. I like to have a nice toy.
No motor-assisted or electric-assisted bike?
No. I'm not into motorized transportation for myself. I'm completely human-powered. I do it off my own energy, off my own body. There is no assist in any way, except for maybe the rear fairing when I tilt it up in a tailwind will give me a little bit of a tail assist.
Thought of using a sail?
A sail's not practical on a bicycle. You get intermittent traffic coming in both directions, big trucks, you get blown right off the side of the road if that you try to use a sail on a bike.
Nuclear power is not something you've considered?
I think my feeling about nuclear energy is anybody that has anything to do with the design, the implementation, the use, and or creative force of using nuclear energy should be considered insane, and you should not listen to anything that person tells you.
Now, what's your next stop?
My next stop will be up in the Bay Area. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to do a lecture in the Bay Area in Fairfax for the Fairfax Bike Club, and that'll be on May 5th. So I'm going to be in the area here. I'm playing Earth Day on April 21st in Cupertino. And meanwhile, I'm just kind of hanging in Santa Cruz and enjoying Santa Cruz, volunteering at the bicycle church, helping out over there. And I've got a lot of friends here. I've got my connection with Santa Cruz goes back a long, long, long way.
You play guitar and harmonica?
Yeah. I've been playing on the streets in Santa Cruz for over 30 years. To me, you know, the downtown, since the earthquake, of course, has really, really changed a lot. The population's gotten really big. And now they got all these sort of like fascist rules, you know, about where you can play. I mean, we're supposed to be entertainers, but you can't stand in front of a restaurant and entertain. You're supposed to stand off to the side and not be noticed or something like that, because they got this, what they call the Downtown Association, whatever that means. And, you know, I really hope that soon somebody will accept a ticket and take it to court, because I know Tom Naughty, the Bubble Man, and I've been involved with the Street Musicians Guild here right from the get-go, many, many years ago, and I played at the last concert 2 years ago in October to raise money for the Legal Defense Fund for street players.
Only in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, yeah.
That was the name of the concert, Only in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, and so that was a wonderful concert, and you know, it goes to a really, really good cause. You know, it's like yesterday I was told that, you know, I could not stand in front of the Pizza My Heart and play, you know, and I just kind of went, well, why? And they said, well, you know, we can't allow you to play in front of a restaurant. And I asked the officer at the time, I said, well, I'm an entertainer, so you're telling me I'm not allowed to entertain. What am I supposed to do with this? And she didn't really have an answer. You know,
a chunky officer in light blue, was it?
Oh, yeah, exactly it was.
Pam Bechtel, yeah, she's notorious. Many officers will ignore the infamous downtown ordinances, which merchants pressured the city council into passing and making worse 3 years ago, which makes it essentially 75% of the sidewalk, more now, 80-85% is illegal for playing a instrument with a so-called display device. Display device is a cap, hat, anything that is capable of holding coins. In spite of Tom Naughty's laudable efforts, to which he did succeed in re-legalizing juggling, but when it came to doing the rest, he left town.
Well, you know, Tom's done a lot. You know, maybe it's time for somebody else to pick up the torch, you know.
I agree. I'd like to see that happen.
To me, you know, the argument, of course, is like if I'm playing myself, if I'm singing with my voice and I'm playing guitar with both of my hands, I couldn't possibly solicit anybody because I'm too busy to do that, you know. And if music is solicitation on the street, then music on the radio, on the airwaves, anywhere else is also solicitation, and it's just as illegal because the laws are supposed to be for all people and not just for the chosen few. You know, we have, of course, what they call a city council down here. Of course, I don't recognize it as a city council. I recognize it more as an elitist businessman's real estate club.
Very good.
Thank you. And, you know, the reality is it's happening in Ashland, Oregon, the same way. You know, they're trying to outlaw street players. They're trying to outlaw it everywhere in the nation, you know. We're sort of sliding up very subtly under this right-wing dictatorship that we have in the White House presently. I mean, we attack nations for no reason under the auspices of a straight-out lie. I don't think Bush has ever spoken the truth in his life. I don't think he knows how to, you know.
Well, what other countries are more friendly towards street performing, or does that exist?
There are a lot of countries that are there for it. Austria, Germany, France, England, Italy. Most of the European nations recognize it as a very, very positive attribute. They actually set up areas in towns. They have stages set up, because they realize that people actually like to be entertained. And when they're entertained, they're relaxed. They turn the cars off in the downtown sections. Of course, here, I mean, you know, we got to have all this pollution, and we got to have all this bumper-to-bumper traffic because that really, really helps sales in the stores, you know. Sure.
What about Latin American countries? How do they regard street performers?
In some places, they will shuffle you from one place to another, just like they try to shuffle you from one place to another here. Most of the Central American countries are pretty acceptable about it, and it's part of their culture. You know, music is a big, big part of their culture, you know. Here, we're musically pretty ignorant as Americans.
How about Russia?
I played in the streets in Moscow.
Summer or winter?
Summer. Yeah. I mean, it's too cold in the winter, but, you know, I was sort of shuffled off in a few places.
And what year?
I was there in 1983. So, to me, I didn't have a problem. So I've heard that other people had problems with that. I think it all depends on who you are and what your approach is.
Well, this is under the former Soviet Union.
Yeah.
What about China?
China, I played in Hong Kong on the street. They loved me. You know, I had a great time.
How about Beijing?
I wasn't in Beijing. I didn't try to play in Beijing. I was actually told better off not to do that, you know.
Have you been in China?
Yes, I have.
You haven't performed on the street?
In Hong Kong, yeah.
I guess it is part of China now.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And when were you there?
I was there in 1984.
Before it was part of China?
Yeah.
And what about places like Thailand and the infamous Singapore, where chewing gum can get you, what, flogged or whatever?
Yeah. Singapore, you don't want to try to pull out your axe and play. No, I wouldn't do that. They sort of figure you out right away because, you know, you're singing in English, you're an American or you're Canadian or you're somebody, you know. And there's a lot of alienate, you know, anti-American Semitism in the world right now going on because of what we're doing worldwide. We're recognized as, you know, locked in pigs, basically.
You get a lot of criticism as an American when you're playing in other countries?
Yeah, I have. I've even been criticized in Canada, which I visited many, many, many times in just in recent years. That's come up, especially back in Quebec. I played in Quebec City, and I was spit on and called a fucking American pig. You know, even though I don't represent necessarily this government, you know, that's just the way that Semitism sort of blurts itself out.
You sound like a critic of the government.
A critic of the government?
Yeah.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm a total critic. I think our government is full of shit. I really do. Yeah.
How about Africa? What have you done in Africa?
The only countries I visited in Africa is I was in Egypt. I was going to go further into Africa. I wanted to bike the whole thing, and I got really, really sick, and I had to return home. So I never really completed that journey.
That lays ahead.
That's the last continent that I want to ride.
What about your debut in Iceland?
I spent a week and a half in Iceland. I loved Iceland. The people there were awesome. They were really friendly. I'm Finnish. I have that sort of like Nordic blood in me or something. So I sort of bond with those kind of people up there.
Speak Icelandic, perhaps?
No, I don't.
And your brief tour in Greenland, did it excite any news notices in the paper?
In Greenland, I made it in the newspaper. I've been in a couple hundred different newspapers and publications worldwide on my travels.
So. Ever been jailed for various crimes in different countries?
The only country that I was jailed in was Canada, and that was for possession of pot.
And I actually was also arrested in Canada at one time for possession of pot. The secrets are all coming out here. In the United States, you've never been arrested for marijuana?
I've never been arrested. The only thing I've ever been arrested and put in jail for was walking on the wrong side of the road in Colorado when I was very, very young. I ran away, and I was hitchhiking on the highway, and they arrested me for walking on the wrong side of the road.
So you got a bike, and now you're biking.
Yeah. On the bike, I've never really been arrested or been... I've been detained once in Santa Barbara. They thought I was a bank robber, you know, and they held me for about an hour, and then they let me go. Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add?
I think, you know, get out of your cars, ride a bike, you know, stop buying bullets at the pump, stop supporting Bush, get him out of the White House, get those people out of the White House. Stand up for what you really believe in. I mean, actually do it and not talk about it.
Shamed again. We've been talking with
Michael Washington, the infamous Dr. X.
Thanks, Michael.
And we have about 15 minutes left. You are tuned to 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. You can also jump on pagesincolor.com. I'll be back on Sunday with 3.5 hours, more of the same. And actually, I intend to do a lot of reviewing of the medical marijuana discussion at City Council. There actually was no discussion at City Council, so I'm probably barking up the wrong tree here. There was a lot of presentation of sympathy and support for the Pacific Coast Cooperative, the group that was closed down by the Planning Department. And as you probably noticed in today's paper, there's a little article, Pot Co-ops Please Fall on Deaf Ears at Santa Cruz City Hall. On the front page, I guess that's publicity of a sort, I tried to get the Peter and or Matt on Club Cruise, the television show that airs occasionally that I occasionally host, and they're playing their cards pretty close to the vest now. I think they hope that they can get some private tit-for-tat or understanding with the city council, and that's understandable, but I continue to believe, and I've said this to them, and I say this to people generally, that you really need to mobilize publicly, particularly in a situation where the city council for 5 years has made it quite clear it has no interest in changing the medical marijuana law and allowing dispensaries to open. And it's, it's kind of backed up by this story. The only... Let's see, what has it got here? If you go to page 4, you see Valerie Corral, founder of the Women and Men's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, said there's no question Santa Cruz County needs more outlets for its estimated 4,000 medical patients to access legal marijuana, but downtown is the wrong spot. Someone could walk out and use their medication. We don't want to expose pedestrians to the possibility of that happening, Corral said. By being accountable to the community, it creates a better sense of trust. Of course, downtown is one of the most convenient locations. It was a location that was didn't produce any complaints or problems a block and a half away when it was at Maple Street for 5 years from 1995 to 1998. The Corrals, of course, have their own kind of private farm and growing area and their own little niche in the power structure here in Santa Cruz, so they don't really have to worry about that situation. And indeed, they have not spoken. This is the first time I've heard them speak out about dispensaries, and I'm glad to hear that that little quote got out. But for the last 5 years, I have not heard a peep out of Valerie or Mike Corral around this issue. Because it's been my understanding that they don't generally favor dispensaries, that they favor cooperatives where people grow their own marijuana and share it and so forth and provide and caretake for each other, which I think is a great idea. But it's not one that is widely being done for all kinds of practical reasons. Instead, you know, in urban areas, you get dispensaries. There is another approach that's being used, and I hope to have somebody on the air talking about it maybe on Sunday. The idea of simply passing resolutions at the city level, which ask for the, which simply state tax and regulate marijuana, forget about medical marijuana, just tax and regulate it and start acting in a de facto manner, opening up clubs like Amsterdam, which I understand is actually happening up in Oakland. We have a call now. In other words, without even a medical, the medical cover or label. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, it's Andrea. How you doing?
Hey, not bad, Andrea. What's cooking?
Oh, well, you know, as far as this medical marijuana thing, that's a good point you brought up about the dispensaries. Did you get a chance to watch that failed drug war by any chance?
Which film is that?
It was a meeting somewhere, I don't know where, on March the 3rd, and Mike and Valerie Corral were both on there, and they both spoke.
Is this about the ACLU drug policy forum?
I think so. Mike Rodkin spoke at the beginning of it.
Huh.
And anyway, what you're saying about the dispensaries, yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, I'm in a real serious situation. You know, you've seen me, and I have severe disabilities. And, you know, one of the ways I cope with them is with marijuana. And, you know, I feel bad that I had to pay $35 for a card, you know, when I'm on a very fixed income and yet I don't have access to it. And one of the things, when I spoke the other night at Oral Communications, you know, I did
council.
Sort of forget to come out and say that, you know, as far as the downtown thing, I think that's a good idea. I don't think people should just be able to walk out and light up right there, like, on the mall. But see, the other thing, too, is that's why not only should, you know, people that are suffering like me have access to it, but we should have the right to, you know, get our medical marijuana, you know, through ingestion. Like, for me personally, you know, I don't like to have to smoke if I don't have to because I don't like the wear and tear on my throat and lungs. And in other words, I feel that I should have the right and the access to my medical marijuana without the risk of, you know, throat cancer,
well, right now
lung
you don't
diseases,
have,
you know.
Right now you, haven't, right now you haven't got that at all. You know, we're going to be actually picking up this subject on Sunday, and I'll be playing I'll be playing your whole testimony.
Then
on Sunday when I come back. Let me ask you to quickly finish up here because I think somebody else is going to try to call in shortly.
Sure.
Go ahead.
You know, not only I can't grow it myself. I can't, like, grow it and share it because I'm not physically capable. I need to be able to have, brownies or muffins or, you know, whether it be in milk, you know, soy milk or something, you know, and I just have that. I need to have that, and something has to be done about it. It needs to change. But I wanted to call in and comment about that.
Sure, and I encourage you to call in again on Sunday after because we're going to have a much longer piece on this.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to tune in right around 9:30 or so, and I'll be there.
Thank you.
So bye-bye. I'll talk to you then.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So, it's Free Radio Santa Cruz. You got a call, you better call fast, because we've only got about 8 minutes left in the show. And that means you'll be able to talk on Sunday, if you want to get back to me, or if you want to call off air 423-4833. That's the Huff line. I'll answer your inquiries, and we can chat there. I'm also hoping to be up on campus next week at certain points if this Huff tent slash table slash university deal works out. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air. Well, I'd like to say something tonight about the civil rights of mental patients.
Okay.
And I sort of have a sore throat, so I'm having trouble talking. But I want to say something about the civil rights of mental patients, including children, And first I want to say something about forced medication. Forced, sometimes repeated hospitalization, forced and coerced shock treatment. Well, it's not been long since us women and Afro-Americans weren't even allowed to vote. Well, now sometimes the court and psychiatrists can take away conserved people, which means take away certain rights and force them to take medicine and stay in mental prisons and even have shock treatment and take away even their right to vote by keeping them in the hospital where they're not allowed to vote or even saying that they're not competent to vote. And I don't know how many people know what's really going on, but it's an evil empire, I think, from personal experience. And not only that, but they can be forced or coerced into taking drugs that can be toxic and cause such severe side effects that they might leave the patient worse off. It's recently shown in the case of a young man, Jeffrey, on the Indian reservation in Minnesota, who went on a shooting binge and killed some of his family, his schoolmates, and the security guard and the teacher, and then turned the gun on himself after his Prozac was raised. So some of these drugs cause severe physical side effects also, such as liver failure, kidney failure, nausea, headache, severe nausea, vomiting, hormone changes, dizziness, drowsiness, and even seizures disorder. And I just don't think it's fair. And want to say that, you know, maybe there's some herbal remedies that would be more calming, like they maybe drink a cup of chamomile tea or something like that. And so if anyone wants to comment, I invite them to call in. How late is your show on tonight?
We got another 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, well.
But they can always call back on Sunday. In fact, I'm going to be talking with Michael Deal of Berkeley, who is concerned that the Proposition 63, which gives a lot of money to the mental health facilities, is going to be used for involuntary commitment and enforced drugging of the kind you're concerned about.
Where was that?
Well, it's a statewide proposition that passed last November with the eager support, Proposition 63.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tax on people who own over $1 million.
They really had plenty of money. It's just that it wasn't being managed. And some of these so-called mental health professionals in the drug companies make big kickbacks, make a lot of money from doctors make kickbacks, we found out, from prescribing all these new so-called miracle drugs. And no telling, they have no idea what it does to a person's liver and kidneys, et cetera, after years of forced drugging.
You're here.
Because I want to say personally, as an anonymous person, that I am really sick from it, and my kidneys are failing, and my liver is hard as a rock.
Let's talk more about this on Sunday if you want to call
back. Okay, but hi to you all out there, and I hope everyone has a nice spring and nice evening.
You too.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. And I think that really kind of wraps it up for Bathroom Spears Broadsides for tonight. Again, if you want to catch me off air, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I will be back on Sunday at 9:30, hopefully with more information about what happened at the last city council meeting in the afternoon, which I didn't really review too carefully yet. I've been running around getting stuff done and avoiding getting other stuff done, as usual. So, hey, think about coming down to the tent city. Think about volunteering to help with that tent city, even if you don't want to help out with the HUFF, which I encourage people to consider working with, too, because we need all kinds of help in fighting for civil rights here in Santa Cruz, not just abroad, elsewhere, but here. and I'll see you on Sunday, or at least I can visualize you as I perhaps hear you on the phone.
I safeguard the farmers and widows and orphans, singing I'm a jolly banker am I. When dust storms are sailing and crops they are failing, I'm a jolly banker am I. Check on your shortage and bring down your mortgage, singing I'm a jolly banker am I. When money you're needing and mouths you are feeding, I'm a jolly banker am I. I'll plaster your home with a furniture loan, a jolly banker am I. If you show me you need it, I'll let you have credit. I'm a jolly banker am I. Just bring me back to for the one I lend you, singing I'm a jolly banker am I. Come in foreclose, take your car and your clothes, singing I'm a jolly banker am I. When bugs get your cotton and times they are rotten, I'm a jolly banker am I. I'll come down and help you, I'll rape you, I'll scalp you, singing I'm a jolly banker am I. A jolly banker am I. A jolly banker am I.
Flesh of day, great bones, fallen head, peace seek. When stolen ground, sit easier on the head. Or Ethiopia's band of gold, for higher prices on the market can be sold. Or Iraq of oil, than any vice or bootleg crown of old.
Thank you.
everybody.